Luke chapter number one this morning. Luke chapter number one. If you find that, stand with me. Going to continue on in the book of Luke this morning, working our way until next week, and when we'll be in, of course, chapter two, and on Christmas morning, and the birth of Christ. But we're going to look this morning at verse number 46 through 55. Luke chapter 1, and we're going to begin our reading in verse number 46. And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth, all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath hope in his servant Israel, in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." And Mary abode with her, that would be Elizabeth, about 3 months, and returned to her own house. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity, as always, to be in your word. We understand when we read the words off of the page of our Bible that, God, these are inspired words. They're your words. This is your book. This is not anything that man put together, but it is God-breathed. And so we know that before us we have the very words of God. And so, Lord, you recorded this testimony, this account of Mary for a reason. And Lord, we believe it can be very helpful to us today. Lord, it'd be impossible, as always, to know everything that's going on in every life in this auditorium today. But it would sure be our desire that you would use the next few moments to challenge and help every individual here to speak to hearts, to do the work that only you can do. Lord, we promise, I promise, that I would take no credit. I understand that anything good that happens in these next few moments is only because of you and the work of your Spirit in this place. And so we look forward to what you're going to do. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated. There are a lot of times that come into our life that are worthy of celebrating. Worthy of celebrating. I suppose birthdays are worthy of celebrating. Another year of life, and we make a big deal out of birthdays. Some of you don't want a big deal made out of your birthday, but people around you still do it. I suppose there's certain numbers, like 50 and other numbers that when they come around that you don't want to celebrate them, but we still do. And because we view that as worthy of celebration. We celebrate anniversaries. And as my wife would say it, her having to put up with me for 28 years is worthy of celebrating. It's quite an accomplishment. Thank you for not agreeing with that. Graduations, worthy of celebration. Promotion, somebody gets a big promotion, a new job, that's worthy of celebrating. A big raise, we might use these words even. Let's celebrate. Our team gets a big win. It's worthy of celebration. One of two countries, either Argentina or France. And probably right now, as a matter of fact, there's a great celebration going on because one of the two have won the World Cup. Retirement. It's worthy of celebrating. Been a part of a few of those since I've been here. Get a good report from the doctor. We want to celebrate. Let's go out to eat. Let's celebrate. Got a good report. Close on a new home. It's worthy of celebrating. We You know, Christmas is worthy of celebrating. It certainly is. Some of you celebrate it more than others. My wife, right after July 4th, begins to decorate our house for Christmas every year. And so our house, she says this to me, she just wants it to be like a Hallmark movie. Like every room, every empty spot, if it can just look like a Hallmark movie. I don't know what that looks like because I don't watch Hallmark movies. If you are a man and you watch Hallmark movies, the ushers will be in the foyer afterwards. Please turn your man card in on your way out. You do not deserve to have that. But whatever that means, I suppose that's what my house looked like until yesterday when we loaded everything up in box trailers and took it out to the banquet. And now my house is empty and we have a banquet that looks like a Hallmark movie, I suppose. Some of you are going to travel incredible distances. Some of you have already spent way more money than you should have spent on presents. We're going to have some incredible meals. And you're planning that. We have school parties. We have work parties. We like to celebrate Christmas. And as a church, I think that we should be in that very same place. We should celebrate Christmas. And that's what we've attempted to do. If you were here last week, and we went to great lengths to celebrate Christmas through a Christmas music special. And it did a lot of work, and again, most of you were here and saw that on the platform. There's a lot of work building it, a lot of work for the choir, the musicians, and everybody involved, for Dan, the donkey, all of them. Is a lot of work, and to get ready for their big moment so we could celebrate Christmas. Tonight, we're going to have a Christmas banquet, and it's something it's a big deal. I trust that every person in this auditorium is planning on coming. We have invested an enormous amount of money and work and effort. Our ladies have spent days upon days upon days and putting together the decorations for the tables and a photo booth. The only thing that probably we could have done better on is our speaker for tonight, but you're stuck with what we have at this point. But it's a big deal. A lot of money to rent out this facility. A lot of money to cater in food and to put this on. You say, why do we do this? Why do we rent a facility? Why do we cater in food? Why do we go to this great expense as a church family for this banquet tonight? I think that's what this text explains. That Christ is worthy of celebrating. That Christmas is worthy of celebrating. The months between the announcements of Christ's birth and his actual arrival, no doubt were difficult months for Mary and for Joseph and for those that were involved. And the anxious part of waiting would have been very difficult for this young couple. But as difficult as it was, I think we can learn a lot in Luke chapter 1 just on how Elizabeth and how Joseph, how Mary, how all of them conducted themselves during this time frame. In this passage, here's what we're going to find. And we didn't read the whole of the text that we could have. But in this passage, here's what we find. We find Mary, and she makes a journey to visit her cousin Elizabeth. We already know from a previous message that Elizabeth is expecting a special baby of her own. It will be John the Baptist. Mary's visit would have involved a really long walk from Nazareth to outside of Jerusalem. Most would say is about a 70-mile walk that she took to get to where Elizabeth's home was. And the Bible tells us when Mary arrives at Elizabeth's house and she begins to speak to her, that immediately the babe within Elizabeth's womb, it leaps for joy. And Elizabeth begins to respond by telling Mary in verse number 45, and she said, "Blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." Now, immediately she begins to tell Mary, "You're blessed because you believe the Lord and that God is going to do everything that he has said he's going to do and everything in the Old Testament that he promised to do. He's going to do this." And upon hearing those words from her cousin, Mary, even though she is very young, again, many believe she would only be 12 or 13 years of age. But while very young, while unmarried, while pregnant, while a lot of question marks in her life, in these verses, she begins to lift up her voice and she begins to praise the Lord. It shows us, and I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself this morning, but it shows us that circumstances don't dictate joy. And just because the circumstances in your life around this Christmas time aren't exactly like you would want them to be, you can still celebrate. Things did not seem exactly perfect in Mary's life. Yes, she was excited to be where she was. And yes, she was excited that God was using her. But there were a lot of dangers in that day with the Pharisees and the judgmental people in her life when she's a single woman, or an espoused woman rather, that's found with child. And so she begins to praise the Lord. And in doing so, she reveals a heart that is in love with the Lord and a mind that has been saturated with the Old Testament scriptures. And she teaches us in these verses, again, that Christ is worth celebrating. That even, again, when there are some big questions, when there's some unknowns in our life, that we can celebrate and worship the Savior. These verses, 46 through 55, to be exact, this song of Mary, this song of praise, it's become very well known. It's been studied at great length and a lot of attention given to it. The Latin translation of the first few words, "My soul doth magnify the Lord," it literally means "my soul celebrates" or "my soul exalts the Lord." The doxology of this hymn is a praise to the Lord. The title of this sermon is really that right there. It is simply this: "My soul celebrates the Lord." And it would lead me to the end to this question: does your soul celebrate the Lord? Are we truly focused on celebrating the right thing this Christmas season? See, this text reminds me that the birth of Jesus is far more than just about gifts, about trees and myths like Santa Claus and Rudolph and Frosty and my personal favorites, Elf and the Grinch. It might be the greatest Christmas movie ever of all times. The Christmas season is about a relationship with the Lord, about learning to celebrate His glory, His goodness, His work in our life. And so what I want to do this morning is I want to spend just a few moments and I want to look at this great anthem of praise that Mary gives. And I want to join Mary in her celebration. And I want to look at some reasons why we can celebrate Christmas at this time of the year. In these first few verses, Mary begins to express her personal praise to the Lord for the things that He had done personally for her in her life. Look again at 46, 47, and 48. She said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For He hath regarded the low estate of His handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed." She talks about here that my spirit rejoiced. Why? My spirit praised. It celebrated. Why? Because the Lord. Because He's my Savior. See, the first object for which she lifts up her voice and praises Him is because He's her Savior for salvation. Don't miss this. Like everybody in this room, Mary was born in sin. And she stood in need of a Savior. Don't let other religions skew your view of this. Christ was sinlessly perfect, but Mary was not sinlessly perfect. She was a sinner. And just like every one of us, she needed that baby that was in her womb to come forth and to live and to die so that she could be redeemed. She declares in verse 47 her dependence upon God in heaven for her salvation. She's simply praising the Lord for the salvation that she possesses within her womb. Your life may be falling apart this morning. But if you have been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus, you have a reason to praise the name of the Lord. According to Luke 10:20, in fact, let me read it. If you want to move over to those pages, just a few pages over, look at this verse with me. Luke chapter number 10 and verse number 20. Christ talking. He says, notwithstanding in this rejoice not. Not in the power I give you and the things that you can do, that the spirits are subject unto you. Notwithstanding in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice or celebrate. Why? Because your names are written in heaven. I can't think of anything worthy of celebrating more than my name is written down in heaven. Think about it. Because you are saved, you're never going to go to hell. You're never going to stand at that great throne of judgment. You're going to be granted access into heaven. You're going to experience the presence of the Lord throughout all of eternity. Because of your salvation, you are a child of the King right now. See, we have abundant reason to rejoice just as Mary did. Someone might say, preacher, I don't have anything to praise the Lord for. You don't understand how difficult things are in my life. Well, I'm telling you, Mary speaking out of a personal relationship, she understands Jesus Christ and the Redeemer that He would be and that He was, and she understood what He would do for her personally. And if we have accepted that, we have all the reason in the world to rejoice. She rejoiced because she had been redeemed. But notice this next word here in verse 48. For He hath regarded the low estate of His handmaiden. Regard. That word there just simply means to turn eyes upon. Mary's telling Elizabeth that, listen, I'm a nobody. The low estate of His handmaiden. I'm a nobody. I'm not worthy of this. But even though I'm a nobody and not worthy of anything, I've experienced the grace of God firsthand. Mary knows that she does not deserve the wonderful favor of the Lord that has been extended unto her. But the Lord did it anyways, which again is another reason to celebrate. If you're here today and you're saved, if you have eternal life, I'm just telling you, there was nothing in you that deserved that. Not the very best of us in this congregation deserved and was worthy of Jesus leaving the portals of heaven and coming and being born and living and suffering in a sin-cursed world and dying so that we could be saved. There's nothing in us. There's nothing in us then. There's nothing in us now that we are saved. There's nothing that we could have ever done to have earned that. But He turned His eyes upon you. Sometimes we make salvation and the things of God, we make them so unpersonable. We make them about everybody else and we think about what God did in everybody else's life. But you have to grab a hold of this. Mary said, He regarded me. He turned His eyes upon me and the work that He done in me. And you have to understand, He turned His eyes upon you when He saved you. And He's done a work in your life. By His grace, He loved us. He reached down to us. He saved us when we responded to Him in faith. To be regarded by the Lord is the most tremendous thing. Even the Apostle Paul was a byproduct, if you would, a product of His pure grace. Even though there's nothing in us that commends us to Him, He still loves us, and by His grace, He transforms us into the children of God. That is the reason in and of itself to celebrate. Look at the end of verse 48 and 49. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For He that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is His name. So we celebrate because of our salvation. We celebrate because He has turned His eyes, regarded us. It's a personal thing. But notice this. We celebrate because of what He's done to all people. Mary realized that God is doing something pretty wonderful in her life. After all, she's about to be the means in which God is going to bring forth His Son into this world. And while many in her day ridiculed her and talked about her, she knew that in days to come, that others would look back on her obedience and know that she has been blessed by the Lord. Her reward was, in fact, that God was to be glorified and that others would be blessed by her action. Everyone in this room who has been saved, who has acknowledged the Lord, you have to understand He's done great things in and to us. Think of the great things that he's done in your life. I was talking to Brother Ken LeBou, probably in here somewhere. There he is. What are you doing way back there? Backslider. I was talking to him this week. Just sharing with me some of the things God's doing in his life. And somehow he just got on the subject of his grandfather, Philip, and where he was and how he accepted Christ as his personal Savior. And how it changed the entire course of his family and his dad and his brothers. And I had the opportunity to do his dad and his mom's funeral and to see where his brothers are and where his brother's children are and to think that his nephew Philip in the ministry and serving the Lord and called to preach and to think of everything that's done. And just like he is now, he sat in my office and he just began to weep. Why? Because of the great things God has done for his family. Without Jesus Christ, none of that happens. Without salvation, and what God did in the life of his grandfather, none of that happens. My dad wasn't raised in church. And to think that somebody invited my dad and he went to a youth rally and he got saved. And my mom really wasn't raised in church until her teenage years. But because of a church there in Sterling, Colorado, reaching out to my grandparents and to see what God did through my dad and through my grandparents and through my mom. And now to think of where my family is and the heritage of my family. And I think about my wife and her dad and mom walking into the Diamond Oaks Baptist Church and Bert Homer preaching the gospel and them getting saved and how it changed and transformed the Webster family. Tony, he's done great things, but none of that's possible without Jesus Christ. And Mary knew this, and as she's writing this and she's celebrating, she's like, for all generations, they shall call me blessed. They're going to look at the good things that come from this baby that I'm about to bring in this world. And people are going to look back and say, we are blessed because of this child. He changed our lives. If you're, and I can be a Scrooge. I'm just the first to tell you, I can be a Scrooge. I can get a little irritated with all the lines. I went to Sam's yesterday. I'm not nearly as smart as the Wares. They had the app on their phone where they could just check out and leave. I didn't even know, and I tried to download it in Sam's. Oh, no, it wasn't working at all. So I like started out in the meat market and worked my way all the way front to check out. Watched people cut in line. Well, that'll test your Christianity. I think I'll be so, no, seriously, I was thinking, standing in Sam's, just getting a few items. I will be so thankful when Christmas is over. But then all those people at Sam's will go to my gym and try to get on my treadmill for 3 weeks, and I'll be equally as irritated, so. No, I can be a Scrooge. Brother Mason said, when do you want to start singing Christmas music? And I said, Christmas Eve? He said, don't you think a little sooner than that? Yeah, okay, we can start a little sooner than that. I don't want to be beat up by Miss Donna Moorhead, and she's done it the last few years, so I'm trying to avoid that this year. I can be a little bit of a Scrooge until I step back and I begin to look at my life. I begin to look at what God's done in my family's life. Four wonderful kids, all of them saved. One of my daughters married to a saved man, the other one is a youth pastor, and no, I think he's saved too. No, they're both saved. And to think that they're going to raise my grandkids in church, and they're likely to get saved, and just to see what God's doing in my kids' life. Keith texted me or called me just in the last couple of weeks, and he said to me, he said, Dad, he said, Brother Chapel may be the greatest pastoral soul winner that I've ever been around. He said, that's the type of preacher I want to be. I want to win souls like him. Is there anything that a son could say? There's nothing he could do on a basketball court that would make me more proud than a statement like that. But without Jesus Christ, none of that. Without the transformation that he made in my life and my family's life, none of that is possible. I'm telling you, he's worthy of celebration. I want you to see the second thing. She not only began to celebrate because what he had done for her and would do for her personally, but she celebrated the Lord because of what he would do successively in the future generations. Look at verse 50 again. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. Mary knows that she isn't the only one who has received grace from God. Nor is her generation the only one that can expect the hand of God to move. His grace is to be revealed to every generation until the return of Christ to this earth. I'm so thankful, again, that his mercy is from generation to generation, that the exact same mercy that the children of Israel experienced, I can experience. The same mercy I can experience, my children can experience. Luke 2:10 reminds us that Christ's coming was for all people. The grace and mercy of God is operating just today, like it did in Mary's day. There's still grace and mercy to save sinners. There's plenty of grace and mercy to reclaim backsliders. There's plenty of grace and mercy for our battles, for our trials, for our valleys. Grace for every situation we face in this life. This in and of itself is a wonderful motivator for celebration, that his mercy is not going to run out. His grace is not going to run out. It's going to be from generation to generation. Some of you, and I've heard you say it, preacher, I'm so afraid of what the future generations are going to face. I'm so afraid for my grandkids and my great grandkids and the world they're going to grow up in. Time out. God's still on the throne. His mercy is going to be there from generation to generation. I don't have to worry about 50, 60, 70, 100 years from now if he tarries his coming, because God will still be on the throne and in control, and just as much God 50 years from now as he is today and as he was in Mary's day. Tonight you can come with your parents. You can bring your children and your grandchildren. And you know what we can do at the banquet tonight? We can celebrate that every generation represented at our Christmas banquet tonight will experience the exact same mercy of God. Not only the performance of his grace, but watch this in verse 51 and 52. He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. Mary praises the Lord because he did not come down just to reach one group of people, not just to reach the proud and the mighty and those deemed worthy, but he came down. His grace, again, was to all people. You see what he said there? He has showed his strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud with the imagination of his hearts. He has put down the mighty from their seats, and he exalted them of the low degree. Okay, let me just stop there. I'm going to even get away from my notes for a minute. What that simply means, you're worthy. I don't care who you are. Preacher, I'm not real faithful to this church. You're worthy. See, sometimes we get this idea that his grace, his mercy, it is just to a select few. And even as Baptists, maybe we've been guilty of this, trying to convince people, or we, even without trying, we've taught a message where you have to look a certain way and act a certain way and be a certain thing in order for God's grace to be relevant to you. And I'm telling you, whether this is your very first time in church ever, whether you're here every Sunday, whether you're dressed in a suit and tie, have a King James Bible, or whether you don't own a Bible and you're just dressed in the best you have and you feel out of place today, I'm here to tell you that his grace and mercy is for all people. It's for you. The emphasis seems to be on the lower you are, the more his mercy and grace is there. That it's the people that come in and they think that there's something great, or they think that they're above everybody else. He said, those are the people I don't have time for. God resisteth the proud. He giveth grace unto the humble. If you're here today and you're like, well, I'm telling you one thing, I'm worthy of all of it. Well, you're probably the one most likely that he's resisting. But it's the low. It's those that are thinking, I don't know why he would love me. I don't know why. I'm thinking of a meal at Simon's house.
And a woman comes in and she begins to fall down. She begins to weep and she begins to wipe the feet of Jesus. And some of the disciples and Pharisees, they begin to cast judgment. And he begins to tell a story. And he begins to tell them that since I came into your house, you've not done anything, but this woman, she's not ceased to worship and praise me. She didn't think she was worth much and neither did anyone else. But wasn't that the one that was elevated that day? Yeah. Even the woman brought to Jesus in adultery, the very act of adultery. The Pharisee says, the law of Moses thus clearly states she should be put to death. What say you? And he turned everything around. And before it was all said and done, he said, go and sin no more. No man can, where's those that condemn you? No one, Lord. Well, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. And he began to elevate. That's the way God works. If you're here today and you don't think that you're worthy, you don't think you're good enough, I'm telling you, you're just exactly the target audience for our Savior. You're exactly the one that he's looking for. And not only that, but notice he promises that his grace again is going to continue. In verse 53, he hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich hath he sent away empty. Mary reminds us again that all who realize their lack can come to the Lord and be filled, while all of those who have need of nothing can expect exactly that from God. So Mary, she celebrates the Lord for his blessings in her life. She celebrates the Lord for his blessings to all generations and to all people. But last, I want you to see this. She celebrates the Lord for what he has promised to do. Look at verse 54. He hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. It tells us here that for centuries, the Jews had lived that the promise that the Lord, that he would one day send his deliverer, a Messiah that he was going to send to redeem his people and restore the nation to a place of righteousness with favor with in favor with God. And here's what Mary understood, that Jesus is to be the fulfillment of those promises. And because of that, Mary exalts the name of the Lord because he remembered his promises. We started this book, the study in the book of Luke this way, that it had been for 400 years quiet and they were wondering, Lord, have you forgotten us? And Mary, after seeing what God had done through Elizabeth and the baby there and what God had done in her life, she very quickly concluded, God, you haven't forgot us. God, you are a God that keeps your promises. And I'm going to say again this morning, and remind you this morning, that he's still a God that keeps his promises. He'll never allow anything that he has promised to go undone. That's why he can be trusted in every situation of life. Whether it be for salvation, we can trust him. Or whether it be for daily provision, we can trust him. God will do what he has said he will do. Therefore, learn to trust him. Learn to praise him for his goodness. Even if the answer has not yet been seen, you can celebrate him because he's a God that always keeps his promises. There's one thing we can be sure of this morning. It's that we can depend upon the Lord. He's never let one of his promises fall to the ground. So he remembers his promises, but in that verse 55, he remembers his people. Mary rejoices in the fact that the Lord hasn't forgotten about Israel. They were his people. They still are. She praises his name as she remembers those who have placed their faith in him. We have the same reason to praise him this morning. There may be some today who feel like the Lord has deserted them. Let me remind you that we have a wonderful promise in this area. Christian, you never need to worry about God forgetting you. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know how hard this Christmas season is going to be. And I know that you might even feel, God, where are you? Why have you forgotten me? But I promise you on authority of God's word and the promises we even find in this text that he's not going to forget you. You are forever impressed upon his heart. In fact, every time God looks at Jesus, he sees you. He will see you through this world and into the next. He did not save you to lose you. He did not save you to forget about you. He saved you to take you home and to be with him. We have a promise that he's going to take care of us. See, we're indebted to Mary this morning. Not to the extent that we fall down before her as some do. Not because of her stature that we would worship her as some do. Not that we would pray to her as some do. Not that we would hold her in higher regard than anyone else who has ever lived as some do. But we owe her a debt of gratitude this morning for reminding us that whether it's for personal grace, favor of others, or for those times when the Lord just proves himself faithful in our lives, we have a God who is worthy to celebrate. With that in mind, I ask you this morning, do you have that same heart that dwelled in Mary? My soul doth magnify the Lord. My soul doth exalt the Lord. My soul celebrates the Lord. Are you getting bogged down in just the busyness of the schedule? The traffic on Slide? The crowds at the mall? The lines at Walmart and Sam's? The constant, oh, I need one more gift. Oh, now I've got to get this. We've got one more party to go to. One more. Are you getting bogged down and getting wearied of it? Or do you wake up every day with a smile on your face saying, we've got something worthy of celebrating? So I'm going to keep a smile. I'm going to celebrate this Christmas. Let me ask you this. Are you in a personal relationship with Almighty God today? One of the reasons we celebrate is because His grace, His mercy is personal to us. If you're here today and you don't know Him as your personal Lord and Savior, today would be a perfect day to enter into a relationship with Him. You'll never truly know joy. You'll never truly have a reason to celebrate until you know Him. Are you in such a position in your walk with the Lord whereby you can truly celebrate Him this Christmas? Is there a need for you to come to Him and meet Him on a personal basis? Is there a need for you to come to Him and make some things right with Him today? Is there a need in your heart to just come and bow before Him and worship Him today? That's really what this is about. It's about a woman who was so overwhelmed with what God had done, was doing, and would do that she just fell on her face and worshiped. Because I'm not one to do anything that I think would just push people toward the altar. I'm not even telling you have to come to the altar today. But I think every one of us right here in the midst, 1 week away from Christmas, right here in the midst of this season, it would do us all real good if we would just stop and worship. Worship. Just fall on our faces before Him and say, you know, there is a reason we celebrate Christmas. There is a reason, as Christians more than anyone else, to get excited about the Christmas season. God, it's not about me, and it's not about what's going on in my life, and it's not about that situation at work, and it's not about that struggle with my child, and it's not about my finances. All of that I can put aside. Today, I'm just going to celebrate because of you. Because you came into this earth to save me. You changed the entire course of my heritage, of my family. God, you have made promises that you continue to keep. Lord, you are worthy of celebrating. If you're here this morning and you don't know Him, we will celebrate with you as you enter into a relationship with Him today. We're going to have just a moment, a time of invitation, and David Wood, our associate pastor, is going to be right here in the front. We have several ladies, several men with their Bibles. We would want nothing more this morning than to take the Word of God and to let you know how you could be saved. We'll celebrate it because that's the reason He came. Every head bowed, every eye closed.